Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing.
I don't have my glasses, so I can't read with that display showing.
Microphone testing 1, 2, 3. Microphone testing 1, 2, 3. Okay, I think.
I turned it off, turned it back on. The mute message was coming.
Okay, I'll let y'all turn it off now. Okay.
Test, test. If you would, let's all please stand and we'll begin our worship and song. He took my burdens all away, up to a brighter day. He gave me a song, a wonderful song, a wonderful song I now can sing, and my heart joy bells ring. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. Welcome to all. Welcome to those of you who are joining us and worshiping with us online. Wonderful to have you as a part of our worshiping family and community today. Welcome to all who are here gathered in person in our auditorium. We would love for you, if you don't mind, to fill out
an attendance card, whether you're one of our guests or one of our members. Or you can, if you're one of our members, you can check that box online on our app and show your attendance today that way. We appreciate everyone, and we encourage everyone to participate in all aspects of our worship this morning. This evening, we have our Fall Festival. It will be in our Family Life Center. It will be from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. There will be a chili cook-off. There will be hot dogs for everyone. There will be booths and games, carnival-type games for the kids. And there will be candy and lots of candy. And we appreciate everyone who has contributed to that, especially those of you who contributed Baby Ruth bars. But we're glad that everyone is going to participate in that. It'll be a fun night tonight. It'll be especially fun for our kids. Wear the costumes. Do it upright. It's always a blessing and a time to laugh and a time to experience joyful fellowship. Next week on Sunday evening at 5 p.m., we will have a prayer devotional. As you know, our elections this year, Election Day, is 1 week from Tuesday, so we are 9 days out. And next Sunday evening, of course, will be the last Sunday before that time. And so we will have a special time of prayer and devotion next Sunday evening at 5 p.m. in our chapel. And we encourage everyone to come and be a part of that. A few prayer updates before our shepherd, Ken Culpepper, leads us in our prayer. Carolyn Womack is back in the hospital with pneumonia. Daughter Candy Hilliard is also in the hospital, but we're asking no visitors at this time as she has pneumonia and a few other complications. Our Melissa Martz was in the hospital for a bit with an infection, but now is at home. There are others, including Nina Crow and some others that are in our bulletin on the prayer list, so be sure and note that. Also, Willa Wicks, the mother of our shepherd, David Wicks, is now in hospice care. She is in the hospice facility here in Tyler, room 104. You'll notice on the back of the pew in front of you are encouragement cards. I'm going to say a little bit more about that during the sermon on the call to encourage, but if you would like to fill out one or two of those in the meantime, that would be great.
Good morning. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, today we come to recognize you as the perfect and holy living God, full of compassion and mercy for us. You provide for us and sustain us. You have created and molded each of us to be unique individuals, giving us strength when we are weak, giving us hope when our burdens are heavy. You give us love when we feel abandoned. You pick us up when we fall, and you put us back together when we come apart. You knew us before we were born and have sought, brought us to this place at this time. Father, we thank you for each person that is with us here today and with us online. We ask that you continue to help us to live a life worthy of your calling. Help us to take advantage of opportunities that you give us to tell the story of Jesus and to bring comfort and relief to those individuals that are struggling and with the difficulties of this life. Father, we ask that you give special blessings of healing and comfort to these family members and friends that are in need of your help at this time. Please be with Carolyn Womack, Nina Crow. Be with Willa and the rest of the Wicks family, Missy Marks, Jane Jones, John Shaw, Alice Cook, Eric Gamble, Charlie Rich. Father, we ask that you give each of these individuals specifically what they need at this time. Father, we pray that you would be with the leaders of our country at all levels of government. Help us as citizens to take our responsibilities seriously as we apply your teachings to the decisions we make this election season. Father, I ask that you help us here at West Erwin to focus on seeking those that need you, as you have always provided us in the past with opportunities. Father, we pray that you'd be with our search committee as they seek new ministers here at this church. Father, you've provided ministers in the past that fit the bill, and we currently have some that fit the bill, but in the future we know that we need other ones that will help us. Father, as we continue to worship this time, we thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice he made for us. We ask that you forgive us and cleanse us. Give us a spirit of unity and a bond of peace and service toward you and toward each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come drink the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
I was a freshman in college, a homesick freshman. I might better add that for sure. I was on my way home to be with my parents, and all I could think about was my mama's cooking. I love my mama's cooking. Fried chicken, meatloaf, banana pudding, coconut pie, not as good as yours, Mama Teen, but it was good. That's all I had on my mind. I walked into the kitchen. There was nothing there. There was nothing on the stove. I looked around, and then I heard my mom. I went into the other room, and there was my mom laying in a corner, crying. I ran to her. I said, "Mom, what's wrong? What's going on?" And she just started to move and shake and get away from me and get further and further in the corner. I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, my dad come running in. He said, "Oh, I'm sorry, son. I didn't want you to see this." And he took my mom and he held her. And he made her better. He took her into her bedroom and later in the bed. I only remember that day, not that night, what I ate. I remember getting in the car with my dad and taking my mom to a mental hospital. I didn't know this. My dad and my older brothers had kept this from me all these years. I don't like to think about that night. It brings back the terrible feeling of uneasiness as I stood there thinking about my mom. Until the overwhelming feeling of gratitude and relief washed over me when my dad came in and he took care of her. I like to think that I'm not helpless. We all like to appear capable and in control. But the truth is, we are all ultimately helpless. We stand in life looking toward the inevitable death and separation from God, and there is not one thing we can do about it, except in our most helpless moment, our Father came in and said, "I know what to do." And while we were still helpless, God and Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5:6. God saw our predicament and corrected it forevermore when he raised Jesus from the grave. Brothers and sisters, our Father has come through the door. He's come through the door for us and rescued us from our helpless state. Let's give thanks for Jesus' sacrifice in order for us to live with our sins forgiven in relationship to God for eternity. Would you pray with me, please? Thank you, God, so much for this time of communion. Thank you for each Sunday that we have this opportunity. And now we're going to take this bread which symbolizes my Savior's body, to give us eternal life. Thank you so much, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
He joins us here.
Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, as we continue our communion, just bless us during this time as we take the cup that symbolizes the blood of our Savior. We just lift this up to you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
we'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
And now the church gives us time to give back our money. Our money that has been so graciously given to us by God. So take this opportunity, whether it's now, during the week, or whenever, to give back graciously and lovingly to our God, to our church. Would you pray with me, please? Thank you, God, so much again for this opportunity to give back money that you have given to us. So let us take this time and let us cherish this time for this money that's going to help for us to continue to grow in spirit with you. I love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me, He cares for me, He cares for me.
I'm happy today while our happy kids come up for kids' time. I'm happy today, oh yes, I'm happy today in Jesus Christ. I'm happy today because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm happy today. I'm singing today, oh yes, I'm singing today in Jesus Christ. I'm singing today because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm singing today. I'm praying today, oh yes, I'm praying today in Jesus Christ. I'm praying today because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm praying today. You know, that song starts out, I'm happy today. What's another word for happy? What? The rain comes down. Okay, another great, great song. Enthusiastic. Ooh, what a great word. Excited. That's a good word. Joyful. That's a good one. Grateful. Ooh, gratitude. I like that. To what now, sweetie? Blue skies and rainbows, that's right. I think we see a trend here. All of those are great, but I want us to sing a song right now about one of those words, which was joyful. I've got the joy, joy, joy. Where? Down in my heart. And we're going to sing that because I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, and Jesus loves me. And that's why I have that joy, and I've got great peace that sometimes I don't even understand, but I have it because I have Jesus in my heart. And Satan doesn't like that, does he? He doesn't. But you know what? We don't care what Satan likes. And if he doesn't like the fact that we're happy, then he can go what? sit on a tack. That's right. You ready? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? In my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Ouch! Sit on attack. Ouch! Sit on attack. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Ouch! Sit on attack to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Remember all this week that we are happy every day, that we've got joy, 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 and the peace that passes understanding down in our hearts. And there's nothing Satan can do because we have the love of Jesus. Let's tell God thank you as we go back to our seats, or go to blast as we stand up and go on to the back. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
If you would, please stand at this time and pass your attendance card to the aisle nearest you, and they will be picked up as we sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
My mother's favorite hymn, sung at her funeral, September of 1974. Thank you, Danny Dobbs, for sharing that wonderful, powerful moment in your life. And it's a great reminder today of how much we need each other. Just as he needed his father at that moment, we need our father and we need each other. In moments like those that are difficult, challenging, and impact us in such powerful, powerful ways. Last week we spoke in this series on great summary statements of the Bible on the call to obey. Next week we're going to speak about the call to shine. Sounds like the right thing to share about on the Sunday before the election, the call to shine. Today is the call to encourage. And who knows what that is popping up on the screen? It's these. You see them on the pew in front of you. And feel free to take one of those now and fill it out and send it to somebody. These are two that I received this past week. I've never received an encouragement card at a time when I didn't need it. Maybe that's been true of you as well. Bill, I don't know who to send them to. Well, we have our prayer list that we've mentioned. We have our shepherds, our staff, our deacons, our ministry leaders, our teachers, people that influence you, that influence your children or your grandchildren, people that are involved in fun things like Fall Festival and all of the many, many things we do around here to serve this church and this city and this community and this world. Those who are involved in overseeing our mission work, those who work so much a few times every week at our Benevolent Center. All of those are great recipients of these encouragement cards, and especially those that you might see on our prayer list and others that you're aware of. Maybe somebody that you've been missing. Maybe somebody that's at home right now worshiping with us that maybe just needs a little bit of encouragement this week. I hope that you will fill these out and send these out. We have about 25 or a little more people that every year we put a list together a couple of times a year and take turns sending these out. We have wonderful Francis in the office, gives us postage paid envelopes. We have a directory and what we call our encouragement card satchel, extra cards. And every week, a volunteer takes that home and addresses those envelopes and puts those cards in them and sends them out during that week. If you'd like to take a slot at doing that, let me know and we'll try to work you in next year. But these are wonderful, wonderful things. If you've never received one, I apologize for that. And I hope that you will send one out because that's a great way to be encouraged as well. We are called to encourage one another. Jim Martin is a minister to churches and to church leaders, and he recently wrote this: our words matter. They can wound or heal. They can destroy confidence or build it up. They can humiliate or empower. They can rob someone of joy, or they can be a part of blessing another. We all need to hear those words that are words of blessing, words of building up, words of encouragement. But the other side of that is also true. We need to be sharing those words with others as well. And maybe that comes in the form of an encouragement card. Maybe it's a text message. Maybe it's another card that you have and send yourself. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a hug in the foyer. Our words matter, and we all need to hear words of encouragement. Because the Christian life is a journey. It's not a one point and then we're done. But it's a lifelong following of Jesus our Lord. And some days and some weeks, we're better at that than others. And during those weeks where we're struggling a little bit, that's when we really need encouragement. Jesus, as his disciples, has given us the call to encourage. One summary statement of the call to Christians could be these two words: finish strong. Finish Strong was a book by Steve Farrar several years ago, primarily to men involved in men's ministry, but really good for everyone. And it's the whole idea of finishing strong. It's the whole idea of not giving up. It's the whole idea of even during those times of difficulty, we still are willing to be faithful, to hang in there, to not give up. The book of Hebrews is a wonderful call for Christians who were thinking about giving up, who were in danger of not finishing strong. They had accomplished some great things. They had been through some very severe trials. And because of those trials especially, they were looking at this and they were beginning to ask the questions, is this really worth it? Is it worth it for me to continue? It's so hard. And some weeks it's harder than others. And perhaps you're sitting there today in one of those weeks as you think about the concerns and burdens that you're carrying today. And I want you to know that I'm so proud of you for being here. I'm so proud of you for joining us online, if that's where you are. Because what Satan wants us to do more than anything else is to isolate ourselves from each other, to take ourselves away from this group, from this family, from the place where we can go and receive encouragement to finish strong. In many ways, that's exactly why the book of Hebrews was written. But we especially see this in a couple of passages. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily. Hebrews 3:13, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. We have come to share in Christ. Come share the Lord, as we sang. We have come to be able to do that if we finish strong, if we don't give up, if we hold on to that faith all the way to the end. And I love how he puts it in this passage. Chapter 10 has a different focus. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. How do we avoid that? But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. You've heard me say this. I've got good news for you. You don't have to encourage your brother or your sister every day. Only the days that end in Y. If it doesn't end in Y, you're good. Every single day, we not only need to receive encouragement, but we need to be giving encouragement. Jesus himself said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And perhaps he's maybe thinking about money there, perhaps he's thinking about service there, but it certainly applies to encouragement. One of the things that the people that are involved in our encouragement card ministry constantly tell me is, I just love this. I just love being able to see encouragement passed along. Some weeks it's only a few cards. But just to know that there are people that are encouraging others in this tiny, little, seemingly meaningless, selfless act that is so very powerful. Encourage one another every day, as long as it's called today. And then in chapter 10, there's a little bit different focus. The overall purpose is still encourage one another, but there's a different aspect to it in chapter 10. In chapter 10, it's more focused. It's not just every single day or in every interaction we have with each other. It's talking specifically about what we're doing right now. It's talking about the Christian worship assembly. It's talking about us meeting together like this, with the purpose not to worship God. We can do that anywhere at any time, but to worship God together. To come share the Lord. And we can't do that when we isolate ourselves and stay away. But we can do that when we're here. And we can especially do that when our focus leaves ourselves and our situation and we begin to think about that person that's down the pew from me, or that's a couple of rows over, or that's in another section that I see on the prayer list, or that's not here. Chapter 10 is a call for people to not give up, but to encourage each other to not give up by meeting together and worshiping together. Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Not giving up meeting together, not deserting this assembly, but rather being here and meeting together here and loving on each other here, encouraging each other. Let me encourage those of you who are worshiping with us online. Thank you for doing that. We're so glad to have you. But if you can be here instead of there, come. Come. You will be encouraged and we will be encouraged. But we realize this is such a great blessing for those who can't be here. For those who are in the hospital and are worshiping with us on their phone. For those who are laid up at home and are watching it on their tablet or their laptop. For those who are able to talk to Pat or Terry or John or Chris or somebody and tell them how to do that. I'm on that list, by the way. It's such a great blessing, but it doesn't take the place of actually being here. One thing we learned from COVID, we need each other, and we need to be with each other, and we need that handshake, and we need that hug, and we can't get that kind of physical contact and interaction. We can't look in each other's eyes and encourage one another. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, you need to finish strong, and to finish strong, we have got to encourage each other. So a few passages of Scripture from this 10th chapter of Hebrews, and a few key words. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, that's what he's been talking about for 9.5 chapters. And now he says, therefore, since we have all those wonderful blessings. Verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Again, verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I hope you're not one of those that has given up meeting together, that could be here but just aren't. Or that may not be here next week, but you could be. I hope that you're one of those people. I hope that you're one of those families where the kids don't have to ask, are we going to church this Sunday? They know. They know. Because you've set that pattern and you've taught them to do what this passage says, not give up meeting together, not forsake it, not desert it. That's a priority. Every single Lord's Day. And it goes without saying, of course we're going. Where else would we be? And that is the question, isn't it? Therefore, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. And to do that, we must encourage one another. We must have that spirit of unity and peace that Ken prayed about for us to have during our Shepherd's Prayer. And to do that, we've got to interact with each other. We've got to meet together. We've got to encourage each other. We've got to answer the call to encourage. Let us hold unswervingly to that hope we profess. But the passage continues on and first of all speaks about the consequences if we don't. You see, what the previous paragraph tells us to do is really important. Why is it so important, Bill? Because it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Verse 26 of Hebrews 10. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely, verse 29, do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You say, "Bill, that's a little bit strong, don't you think?" Yes, it is. Not my words. It's the words of the Holy Spirit. That Spirit of grace that we're turning our backs on when we don't come. When we isolate ourselves from God's people. When we give up meeting together. Rather than encouraging each other as we come and share the Lord together. Why is it so important for us to do that? Because it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why does he speak so strongly, Bill? Because if you give up on this, there is nowhere else to go. Nowhere else. Oh, you might have some circumstantial times where you're happy, where things are going well. But you can't get through the tough times. And you can't get through eternity. If you have turned your back, if you have trampled underfoot the Son of God who left heaven and came and gave his life here for you while you were still a sinner, as Danny shared from Romans 5. That's when Christ came. That's when Christ died for you. Why would he do that? Because it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I don't want anybody to have to do that. And that's why Jesus came. And that's why we need to be here. To encourage one another to finish strong so that that won't be us. But the writer of the book of Hebrews says, "I've got better things in my mind for you, though." I don't think that's you. And I agree with him. We go from the consequences to the cost and reward. We do not belong to those who shrink back. Chapter 10, beginning at verse 32. "Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering? Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions." You say, "Well, Bill, is there a cost to finishing strong?" Oh, there absolutely is. There absolutely is. You may lose some friends over that. You may lose some relationships. You may have some tension in your family because of your faith in God. It may cost you some things financially. You may not be able to climb that ladder of success as well because of your faith. But the cost is worth it. So, verse 35, "Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. "For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And but my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back." Quoting from the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Verse 39, "But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." We do not belong to those who shrink back. We belong to those who believe. We belong to those who are saved. We belong to those who finish strong. Not perfectly, but strong. Because we have helped each other because we have encouraged each other along the way. And when I'm feeling low, you're there for me. And when you're there feeling low, I'm there for you. Because we don't need each other at the same times, but we all need each other. And the call is to encourage. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed. We belong to those who finish strong and reap the rewards of an eternal life in the presence of our Creator God and our loving Savior. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want everybody that's around you right now to be there? That's what we want more than anything else. To do that, we need each other. We can't do this alone. It's hard to do it even with each other. But I sure like my chances better there. We hear that call to encourage. We hear that call to finish strong. And we do not belong to those who shrink back. And so we answer that call to encourage. To finish strong, we need each other. This is the call to encourage. I remember when my mother died and I was 17 years old. I was at a friend's house and celebrating his 18th birthday. And we got the call at his house at midnight that I had to get home. And there were a couple of wonderful youth deacons in the truck as I was sitting in the middle on the way home. And I asked one of them, Will my mother be alive when we get there? And they said, I don't think so. And I remember when we got there, when we pulled up to my house across town in San Antonio on the south side, I remember a couple of things. I remember ladies cleaning our house after midnight. And I remember our preacher and a wonderful friend and mentor of mine, Ronnie Clayton, getting me and putting me in his car and taking me downtown to Robert B. Green, the morgue, and standing there with me as I identified my mother at 17 years old. Danny, I get it. But don't we all get it? Can't we all tell a story or two like that of when I needed someone so desperately and someone was there? To finish strong, we've got to be there for each other. And to be there for each other, we've got to be here. We've got to be connected. We've got to be involved in each other's life. We've got to not forsake and desert the assembling of ourselves together, but to encourage each other every day when we can, and certainly at this moment on the Lord's Day, when He has called us to be together, when He has told us this is family time, this is family day. Why, God? Because you need it? No, because you need it. And because that person across the pew from you needs it. To finish strong, we need to encourage each other, to send those cards, to make that call. To live for Jesus, we need to answer the call to encourage each other. And if you need encouragement doing that, we are here to help each other. Come as we stand and sing this song.
Jesus, oh my brother, His disciple ever be. Render not to any other what alone the Lord should be. Live for Jesus, give Him all thou hast to give. On the cross the world Redeemer gave His life that thou might live. Live for Jesus, wandering sinner, under Satan's service.
Thank you, Bill. Before we close, we'll sing the first and third verses of It Is Well With My Soul. Let me remind everyone to be back here this evening, if at all possible, at 5 o'clock across the street for some good time of encouragement and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, God's sought me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
We pray that it has been pleasing in your sight. We pray for those of us who cannot be here due to illness or who are away from home. We pray for those who are away serving in the military, away on business, or at college. We pray that as we depart from this place, that we will keep our minds focused upon you and your word, dear Lord. We pray that we will encourage one another to finish strong and to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. We pray all these things in the name of your most holy Son, Jesus. Amen.